Sharp Fastest Gallery. Hey, I am Ann Eller, and yes, it is another political afternoon. Yesterday, I spent all afternoon from about 3:30 to about 5:30, quarter to 6 last night down there at the opening of the new Veterans Center right here in Greenwood. It was phenomenal. I was so impressed with the turnout of people that came out there to see what's going on. If you haven't been to the new Veterans Center, the Greenwood County Veterans Center, you need to go over there and check it out. If you need the services of the Greenwood Veterans Center, then you need to go there now. They have moved. Everything is set up. Looking good over there, so check it out. It's very impressive and is only the beginning. They've got so much more to do, but it looks great. But today, our very special guest is Bob Fisher. He is running for County Council District Number 7. So he's on the local level here, and he is a businessman from over there in Hodges. How are you doing today, Bob Fisher?
Just fine. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So you are a businessman. Now, what type of business do you have, Bob?
Emerald Welding, 25 years in business, is a welding fabrication shop, and we also have a coating that we do for the textile industry.
You still have textiles doing this?
Believe it or not, Greenwood Mills and Milliken are very good customers.
Well, is that more for cars or for all types of?
Milliken has got more into specialty fabrics. That was a smart strategy by Milliken to survive. Mm-hmm. Making bed sheets nowadays is all done overseas. You're not going to find that in the States.
Sure.
But specialty items in carpet, I think Greenwood Mills runs certain contracts for military and all this. And there's several mills out there doing really good right now.
Oh. So what type of coating would a welding company put on fabric?
We started with, it's not onto the fabric, it's onto the machines.
Oh, okay.
The weaving machines where the yarn is pulled and woven and rolls through the machine. As it comes out the other side, there's rollers that drive the cloth, and they need to have texture. Normally this was glued sandpaper. Well, the thermal spray we use is a wear-resistant stainless, and when it coats the roll, it replaces sandpaper and lasts about 10 times longer.
Wow. Okay. So that was when was that developed?
We've been doing it for 18 to 20 years.
Wow. Okay.
The technology goes way back. I don't know how old.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I thought maybe that was something new technology here, but it sounds like it's been around for a while.
Well, it's actually most of it is used in, like, aerospace industry. It's the same technology used to coat jet turbine engines and such as that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, so, Hodges, that's an interesting place to have a business here.
Well, when you're born and raised in Hodges, it's pretty close to home.
Pretty close to home, I guess so. So did you start this business, or was it a family business?
Well, I went to work for Ralph Mathis, who was the plumbing company. Well,
absolutely.
Ralph, when he got near retirement, he started a welding shop just to have something to do. And he and Randy Clegg were working a welding shop, and they got busy. Well, I knew Randy, and Randy said, hey, would you like a job? I said, oh, yeah. I was working second shift, and I hated second shift, so I took a first shift job.
What were you doing second shift as?
Running a shear for Cooper Power.
Cooper Power, okay.
So that was many years ago.
Yeah.
And then I went to work with Ralph and Randy, and Ralph got ready to retire. It was too busy. It got too busy for him, so he sold.
They were too successful, right?
he liked working with the backhoes. He didn't like working in the industry work coming in, so he sold it to me and Randy. And then about 7 years after that, I bought Randy out, and last I talked to Randy, he'd moved to Tennessee. So,
well, it was a good move that back then.
It really was.
What do you think about business today, the regulations and stuff? Is that affecting your business?
You can't run a business without being bothered with regulations. I know we do need regulations to keep everything straight and honest so people don't rip off individuals and the government. But it seems like
wait a minute, the government here.
Well, I would like to say the government doesn't rip you off, but
okay.
But the industry has really been burned heavily. If you're a big business, you hire people whose sole jobs is to keep certain divisions of government off your back. Everything
exactly.
From your accountant to people to deal with DHEC regulations. For small businesses, you can't do that, and it's almost impossible to do everything yourself, so you just fight it as best you can.
Right. That's true.
And it takes a while. I have a paint booth, and some of my thermal spray equipment have DHEC permits, and I've got a box, instead of a file, I've got a box of DHEC paperwork that's about 10, 12 inches thick right now, just keeping up with it.
It is. Have you seen more regulations in the last few years?
Oh.
Or not?
To me, it's about the same. It seems like this little stuff always comes in and changes, and it's hard to keep up with changes.
Absolutely. Now, I understand you have, what, 12 employees or somewhere close to that?
Yeah, we normally run. Our standard is about 12 employees over the years. We cater
full-time employees?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot have been with me. My shop manager, David, has been with me for 22 years. My first office manager was with me for 14 years till she retired. My second office manager, I hired him almost retirement age. He worked 70 and retired. I've got guys been with me 16, 18 years.
Now, so will the, if Obamacare holds, will that affect you? Or do you already have a plan?
Well, we don't have a paid insurance plan.
Okay.
We will let people get individual plans and that kind of stuff. I mean, I've got an individual plan because none of the group plans I've ever found were really cheap enough for a small business. And half my employees have spouses who work where there's insurance, so it's unjust for me to burden them with extra cost just because it would suit me.
Okay, but what's going to happen if Obamacare holds up there, Bob?
How bad it's going to hurt, I don't know, but it's going to hurt. For the government to tell me that I have to do this and I have to do it this way, I don't know what it's going to do to me, actually, because the laws are so thick, and so by the time they actually get implemented, I don't know what they'll truly be, but it's not going to be any fun for small business.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say with 12 employees, that's you are going to get hit.
Big time.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you have never been in politics, if I'm reading this correctly on your thing. You've never been involved in politics.
Never ran for an office.
So why did you decide to run now?
Well, for years I've had several friends that, you know, would be discussing politics. Now, well, Bob, why don't you run? I like your ideas. Why don't you run? You're a good fellow. Go. And I've always just stayed away from it. Then a couple of years ago I had, Bob, you know, you ought to consider running, at least the county council level. And I thought about it, and this year started coming up. And as I started looking into some of the issues, the more I studied the issues, the more I felt compelled to run. I felt like this is something I need to do because this county's been good to me. I mean, it's a wonderful place to live. We've got wonderful industry, got wonderful employees. Everything is. I've been so blessed to live in this county,
mm-hmm.
And I feel this is one way I can give back and help the county.
Do you think the county's going in the wrong direction?
As a general overall rule, I think it's fairly okay, mm-hmm. But there's been several decisions made that I disagree with, or I wouldn't be running.
Mm-hmm. So you want to take on. Now, one of the most interesting things, in fact, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors first, but I want you to think about this one right here. He says if he is elected, he's going to take his first year's salary and donate it to the volunteer fire departments of Hodges, Cokesbury, and Ware Shoals. What do you think about that, folks? Hey, if you've got a question for Bob Fisher, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors. I'm Ann Eller. We'll be right back. Ready to race to you.
These days are on. Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Back here at Sharp Passes Gallery on the 72 Bypass. I am talking to Bob Fisher. He is running, and he will be in the primary. He's a Republican on the Republican ticket for the primary on June 12th, which is actually a week from today. A week from today, everybody that's registered will be going to the polls. So Bob, one of the things that you you had said that you wanted was that you were going to donate the money that you would have gotten for your salary there at the Greenwood County Council. Now, what is the salary?
For the first year.
For the first year.
please be clear with that.
Right, for the first year. Now, what is the salary?
Last I heard, it's $8,240.
Okay, so you would be willing to donate that. And why did you decide to donate that to the Hodges, Cokesbury, and Ware Shoals Fire Departments?
They've taken a big hit, and in the county should, main thing is to do your basics and do them well, which is a jail, law enforcement, EMS, fire, your basics.
Mm-hmm.
The volunteer fire departments have taken a big financial hit. And these guys are willing to do this for nothing more than a basic tax write-off, go buy their own equipment, this kind of stuff. And it's a great thing. And it's just a way to help them. It does encourage votes. I mean, yes, I'm trying to get elected here, let's be honest. But if I can give this money back to the people of my district, then am I not helping the district instead of spending a lot of money on campaign signs?
Sure. Now, you have also said that you wanted people, rather than donate to your campaign, to help others, if nothing else, help a neighbor going through a hard time, donate money to your local fire department or to your church's local community aid program. How's that working?
It's worked real well because, first off, people know that I'm not asking for money. I'm not accepting donations from any political party, any company, or any individual. It's straight out of pocket.
That's an interesting philosophy here, Bob.
So the people I meet, first off, they know I'm not asking them for money, and I don't hold.
Does that get you in the door a little easier?
Oh, yes. As soon as you say you're a politician, it's like, oh, they put their hand on their wallet.
Right.
And rightly so.
Sure.
But I don't see where, at a county council level, I really need to do this, and I don't hold against anybody else that does, because campaigns are different for different people.
Sure.
So if I can make the community better, win, lose, or draw, then it's going to be positive for me either way.
So have people donated to the fire department in they would have given to your campaign, but they've done that, or to your churches or whatever?
I've had several people tell me that they were donating to their fire departments.
How does that make you feel?
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. That's terrific. Not to accept any money from any political party, company, or from anyone else. It's a good thing this is a county council office, right?
It is. If this was a state office, I'd be broke.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we want to talk about some of the things that you find as issues for on the county council level. And, of course, some of the issues that are out there, one that you feel is a really big issue is the library. The Greenwood County Library is a beautiful facility,
I mean,
phenomenal facility, particularly if you go to what was the old Greenwood Library and look at that facility. It has really come back strong with the Veterans Center. Have you been there? Yeah,
Not yet. Since they finished it.
Well,
when they were working on it, but not since they finished
it. Well, we're just beginning over there. We've got flagpoles and all this good stuff that's going to go up out there. They're going to have a healing garden in the back, so there's a lot more work. But it does look clean and new carpet and painted. It really looks phenomenal. But your feeling on the library?
Well, it's not that I dislike the library. We needed a new library. We needed a bigger library. That was the whole premise of the deal. But when we voted, we were told we could vote for the library for the penny. Did you want to pay it in sale in your for land your own, or do you want to pay it in a sales tax? Well, people wanted a sales tax because they didn't want it at their houses. The problem is they come up with a plan that cost us almost $12 million. $12 million divided out by the households is around $450 to $500 a household. The libraries are not used in the same fashion that they were used for years. And even though it's a big library and it's nice,
mm-hmm.
Did we need one that big, located where it's at, that doesn't serve the people any better than it actually does? I like the library. It's beautiful. But at the same time, you look at Abbeville, their contract to fix their library, which is not as big as ours,
mm-hmm.
was led, I think, $800,000, less than $1 million. And, yes, ours is bigger, but is it 12 times bigger?
Mm-hmm.
And it just bothered me the money was spent that way. Now, that's history, and you say, well, it's done. Well, yes, it is. But if that's the mentality of how they're going to spend money in the future, that worries me.
No, I mean, we. What do you feel about as far as the library? So you think it could have been done less expensive, I guess, is really what you're saying.
Less flash. I mean, they tore down a grocery store.
Mm-hmm, they did.
They bought three houses, tore them down,
mm-hmm.
and developed all this into this big library.
A lot of industry would say, a lot of people would say, but that attracts industry and business to our area.
Yeah, but you talk to a lot of the voters and says, man, I don't use the library anymore. Why are we spending that kind of money?
Yeah.
Drawing in business is good, but if an industry is coming to you and they said, we're going to move here just because you built a library, I don't think so.
No, not because you just built a library, but because of having a good facility. One of the points you did bring up, though, was about the computers and how many computers could have been bought with that money.
You could have put a computer, a brand new computer, in every household in this county for what that library cost. Or you could have built a million-dollar library and then still put computers in every house.
Do you think there was a we should have had a new library? Should they have tried to rework with the building that they had? Or
no, I don't think there was enough room there. That was a very confined space.
Mm-hmm.
They could have followed along Abbeville's idea a little better. And, I mean, you're talking about totally renovating your grocery store
mm-hmm.
and new facade, new air conditioning, new roof, new everything. And you could have made a reasonable library for a lot less. Or
now
you could have made it
like
bigger.
That sounds like somebody that's a business person.
I'm a general contractor, too.
Okay. So you would look at these things and that would bother you, I guess, yes?
Yeah, because I've said a lot of steel in my life and bar joists and trusses and all, and I to see them tear down. And people talk about being environmentally friendly. I don't care how you build your building or what you do. It's hard to say it, that anything is more environmentally friendly than fixing what you already have.
That's true. And, you know, part of my problem with what we have going on is all these empty buildings right here, the old Walmart mm-hmm. Plaza and the, well, the grocery store that was there, but that whole plaza there. We've been a long time with empty buildings. The thing that I'm always told, though, is that they can make a deal to build a new building, but they can't make a deal for taxes and, you know, the incentives to get a company to come here, just like we're building all that new industry down there where the new shopping center is right behind Cracker Barrel there.
That's something, to be honest with you, I don't understand. No one's explained it to me yet why we can't cut deals for these old buildings. There may be laws that I don't know about,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't make sense to me to see these buildings that they're empty to the point they're let go so far down to you have to tear them down.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's a waste.
It is a waste. It is a waste, absolutely. And so, and of course, then that would regentrify an area and bring business back. And, you know, I like to say that we're down right here at Sharp Facets. We're right down here on the civilized end of the bypass. Because we don't have as much traffic. I mean, we have a lot of traffic, but it's not like it is down there. And it just seems, and then, of course, they keep up annexing parts of the to pull them inside the county, inside the city, and everything. So there are a lot of issues here to discuss, and from a businessman's perspective, sometimes it's hard to understand, isn't it?
It is. Some of the decisions, like I said, I hate to judge a decision that I don't know have all the facts to.
Mm-hmm.
But on some decisions, they're so far out there, it's like, I don't care what all the facts are. Something's wrong.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Bob Fisher. Hey, we're going to hear South Carolina news here in just a second. If you have a question, though, you'd like to talk, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
From trash to treasures along a country road. Do you love classic country? Do you love to hear the old stuff that nobody plays? Well, we do on Saturday mornings, 9:30 to 12. Yes, it's From Trash to Treasures Along a Country Road. You'll be sure to hear songs you haven't heard for ages and remember all the good times you had. So tune in on Saturday mornings to Trash to Treasures Along a Country Road. I'm Ann Eller. I'll be there. How about you? On WCRS 1450 AM, 9:30 to 12, and on the internet at WLMA.net. Check it out on Saturday, 9:30 to 12, only on WCRS 1450 AM. Classic country, from trash to treasures along a country road.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
That's right. We're We're right back here at Sharp Passes Gallery. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, we are in the thick of the political season. We have 1 week left, folks. I know a lot of people are saying, hallelujah. But if you would like to find out more about the candidates, you know my philosophy. Don't vote by the sign. Vote by knowing who you're voting for. So if you'd like to know more about your candidates, all of them have on our webpage. There is a page with all the candidates that have been on. Their audio and their video are listed right there. Please make sure you visit that and learn about all the candidates before you go to the ballot box and make that decision. But we are here with Bob Fisher today. He is running for Greenwood County Council District 7. We did have a comment about the empty buildings. We were just talking about the empty buildings, and it is a shame that we don't have them filled first rather than last, I guess we could say. Bill Martin called in. He said, actually, the rent is still being paid on the empty buildings to keep competitions out, even the old Walmart.
Well, if that's the deal, it's a contract. It's a contract, and I don't want to step in between businesses. I hate it for the local community, the people who live around, and it looks so desolate. Maybe I'd consider a better form of contract that says if you vacate the building, you will either tear it down, you will renovate, or you will let somebody else move in.
Sure.
I don't know how feasible that is for a contract purpose, but it would make more sense than making one side of town so deserted.
Yeah, or so civilized, as I like to say. But there is a lot of we are getting a lot of new shops here in Greenwood, a lot of new retail. I think that is a good thing. That certainly will help keep more dollars right here in Greenwood. That has been a continuous problem, is that we haven't had the shopping, and now we are developing the shopping.
It's good to have the shopping, and I'm happy for it, what jobs it does create. Retail jobs are good. But I still want to see what we can do about getting more manufacturing jobs back. Our industry has been hurting, and the more we can do to manufacture, that's going to be the strong. That's what's going to make our county stronger than anything
retail,
else. But
retail jobs are good, but that keeps people in the community. But you need the manufacturing and industry type jobs that bring the bring the big dollars, the big buckos in, right?
That's right.
Absolutely. But, Bob, one of the issues that you say is an issue you want to discuss and go forth on is the lake property, where they have the county has taken some of this lake property. You want to talk about that?
Sure. When I first started running, I'd heard of this issue but didn't know much about it. The more I ran and the more I studied, the more it bothered me. As a matter of fact, it's bothered me more than the in-district expense, because when they went to build Lake Greenwood, a surveyor took a map and went out and drawed where he thought the water level would come up to, and that's what they paid the residents that had that land, $50 an acre, for the land. Once the water was up, they went in and started selling lots, and people have been buying and selling Lake Greenwood for years. Well, the county council came up with an idea, or somebody at the courthouse came up with an idea that says, according to this old map, which really wasn't even drawn with a rule or surveyed out with the transit, it was estimated out. They walk in and said, you know, you don't own your lakefront property because it's not shown right here. They put an overlay of a new map. They went back to certain people and said, you know, you don't own your lakefront. And I wasn't sure of it. I'd heard these stories, so I went to one of the individuals, and he showed me the plat and the deed where they charged him, or charged his group that were developers, $119,000 for a third acre of land, knowing he had to have it to get title insurance. And the previous owners, it was considered their land. And what really drives this issue is, we're Americans. One of the great things about being an American is you can own your own land. Other countries, you may not be able to own your own land. But America, we can buy and own our own sovereign piece of property.
Right.
For any government body, be it federal, state, or local, to try to finagle land rights out from under its citizens just bothers me bad, because it's what makes us Americans. And to try to take your land from you, that just bothers me.
So you're saying that the county, I guess, because that's lake property, collected an extra $119,000 from these individuals, this group.
Right.
Wow. Are there other instances, or?
There's several others. I don't have the exact details. I haven't seen their plats. I do know that for some individuals, they can petition county council just to give it back to them. They can just have theirs.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly how it had been explained to a group that was at a stump meeting, that this was just given.
Well, it wasn't given back. For years, when the land was originally, when people were buying and selling that Greenwood property, the real estate agent, the person who sold the land, the person who bought the land, the surveyor who drew out the plat, and the lawyer who did the closing, we all knew this was Lake Greenwood property that you owned to the lake because we used the courthouse's records. It was never even an issue until they found this old map and said, guess what we can do? I guess their deal is, hey, we can raise money off this. And to hit people up and say, you don't really own your property, it just bothers me.
Absolutely. That is bothersome because the lake is actually one of our biggest assets here in our community. It certainly is a draw for people coming out of the area. So you're telling me people could have bought property and then had to go back and pay more?
The most common thing is deal of as long as you own the property, they were letting you, well, you can use it, but you don't own that right. And then they go in and say, okay, now you're selling it. You can't actually sell all your lakefront property because you don't really own it. But then the next person coming in can actually buy it from the county.
Wow, that's interesting. I hadn't heard all the details to this. Hey, if you've got a question for Bob Fisher, give us a call, 229-7984. If you've got clarification on something, give us a call, 229-7984. He is running for County Council District 7, and he is in a primary runoff coming up on June 12th. So take advantage of this time to get more about Bob Fisher. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors when we come back. We've got more to talk about. Don't you go away.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Right back here, 4:46 in the afternoon, folks. We are talking with Bob Fisher. He is a lifelong resident of Hodges. He has his own business, Emerald Welding, up there. Been in business for 25 years, is that right?
That's
absolutely
right.
Absolutely. And he is running for, as I said, County Council District 7. You know, Bob, we were just heard that my little ad there about signs. And, you know, there are a lot of signs out there. In fact, they can actually be a traffic problem.
Definitely.
Exactly. But what exactly have you done on signs?
I bought 500 signs here local, and I bought 100 signs here local for a little more than $500, and that's all the signs I bought, and that's all I'm going to put out. I just want enough signs to catch people's attention and get them asking. I don't want to win because I put out more signs than somebody else.
Okay. So how much money have you spent on this election here since, you know, you're not taking any contributions and you're not doing this? How much money have you spent?
I have spent, it was $530 for the signs.
Mm-hmm.
It was $330 to register.
Okay, we're up to $860.
And I think it was $12 for a ledger book to keep track of it all.
Okay, so we've got $872, less than $900.
Correct.
Correct. That's all you're going to spend?
Yeah.
Yeah? Wow. That's amazing, isn't it?
I'm trying to do it by talking to people and not...
How many people have you talked to? You're talking to a lot right now, right here
yeah.
on the radio, but how many people, how many doors have you talked to?
I have no idea. I don't have any set schedule for it. Just if things are running a little low at work, I'll take off and knock on doors, talk to people, and try to... I don't try to talk to them too late at night or too late in the afternoon because nobody wants a politician knocking on your door.
Right, exactly. Well, let's see. We have some other issues that you want to talk about. You are running for county council. Of course, one of the big issues out there on county council is that in-district expense money that has really riled a lot of people up. It's been justified, I guess I should say, by those that have been vocal about taking it. And then, of course, on county council, there are those that took no money. So what is your feeling about this, Bob?
I feel it was a bad decision to ever start it. The in-district expense was a thing, to be fair, that the politicians in Columbia have used. But being a politician, a state senator, is different than being a county councilman. There's a lot more travel and everything else.
Well, I think the other issue is it was actually in the budget.
Yeah. It's the way this was done, with nobody knowing about it, it was a hush-hush thing. And most of them didn't even file it on their ethics report. So how did you know it was there? They went back, a lot of them went back since this came out and did amendments to their ethics reports to include it. Now say, oh, I showed, you know, the public. They didn't show it until they got caught. The in-district expense was not a good idea. In the middle of 08 was a very bad year.
Exactly.
Economically. And to say we're going to double our salaries, and they were told this was that they had to pay income tax on this, so this was an income. As far as using the term expense, I think that was just to throw people off track. It was an income, and I hate that they did it because it really makes Greenwood look bad.
You know, one of the things that has happened with politics and politicians is the fact that I think a lot of people right now don't have a lot of faith in the system and in the politician, whether we're dealing on a national level with Congress and the Senate, and then we see the GSA. We have 24-hour media that is constantly giving us updates on everything, and then whether you take it down to the state level and then all the way down to the local level. It's caused a politician is a dirty word.
Well, a friend of mine, when I walked into his business and told him I was running, I said, Bob, my question is, why are you going to risk your good reputation to be a politician? I thought, well, God, that's a good point, because I've got a lot of years trying to have a good reputation, and this is a dangerous step.
Right.
But the thing is, another individual said, I don't know you. Why should I trust you? And I thought, well, that's true. You don't know me. But the thing is, why do you trust any politician? Verify what they say. See that they do what they say they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And this is a temporary job. This is a 4-year temporary job. If I don't do this job, hey, you get to fire me.
Right.
I mean, you get to choose. The voters have the ultimate power to choose. On the county's website, one thing that I did notice, there was a flow chart, and it showed the county council positions, and it said under that was the county manager, and it broke it all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
What was really missing is that whole top bar needs to be slid down and put a bar across the top saying the voters. Because the voters do have the power, as long as they exercise it. They got an awesome power and responsibility, but they've got to exercise it.
You know, I think that's another problem that we suffer from, is that a lot of people have become discouraged and disenfranchised from the idea of voting, because everybody, you know, at one time or another, you've heard everybody say, oh, what does it matter? My vote doesn't count.
It does.
Absolutely, it does. And on particularly on a small county-wide or county-wide election, it really counts, because there may only be I read about an election in Texas. They had 118 votes to two men. They had a tie. So instead of doing a runoff, they flipped a coin because they didn't want to cost the county more money. But in this whole county of 20,000 people, there were only 118, well, that's 236 votes or something, for the whole county. That was crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that we do need to do is make sure that those that are registered get out and vote. You can't vote if you haven't registered in this election, but you darn sure better be registered for the election in November.
Yeah. Well, my whole race is right here for the June 12th primary, because there's nobody registered on the Democratic side or anywhere else.
Sure.
So it's just me and Bob Jennings in the June 12th primary.
So you're saying whoever wins this one, they're going to slide right in.
Well, I can't promise you slide in, but unless something else. Don't
unless
catch,
we get a writing.
Well, you
in,
don't.
I guess.
You, it's old deal, don't catch your chickens before they hatch.
Okay. All right. But you're right. There is no Democratic candidate on this. So you are running against, as you said, Bob Jennings. So to get back to this in-district expense, what do you think should be done about it?
Well, I don't know enough of how it was drawn up. That's one of the big problems. Nobody knows who started, how they implemented.
Why not?
I don't know. We just can't find out. But the people have been asking questions, and nobody knows. A lot of people are saying they ought to pay the money back, and I can see the cries out for it. The problem is it was first sent to SLED, and SLED looks at it as, is it a crime or not?
Right.
And I don't think it was ever a crime. I think it was a miscarriage of intent that was really not handled the way it should have been, because if they wanted to double their salaries, they should have just said, hey, let's double our salaries. But they went behind the people's back to do it. I don't think that there's a legal grounds to make them pay the money back. I just don't think there is, unless somebody can show it to me. I'd agree with it, but I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see wasting a lot of the taxpayers' money now trying to chase something that's not going to be fruitful.
So, I do believe it has stopped. Am I correct on that?
They did. They stopped it, I think, about 2 years ago.
2 years ago. No. I mean, that was going, I think it's still going on up until very recently.
Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe it was.
Mark Allison was asked if he would like to, and that's part of it.
And he turned it down. Well, as far as that's concerned, I don't know the exact details. The way I found out, I was looking at the SC Ethics reports.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that the guy I was running against had drawn a little bit of money 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about it, and he mentioned, well, yeah, it was helped to offset the cost. But when it broke in the paper, the amount was a lot more.
Sure.
And since then, several of them went back and adjusted their ethics reports.
Sure.
But
do you think, what do you think about some of the things that are going on? For example, closing down the Civic Center there. How do you feel about that? That was a county council decision to close the Civic Center down.
I don't know what their basis was to close it down or to keep it open. People have very strong feelings about the Civic Center.
Mm-hmm.
Some say close it down, burn it down. Some say, oh, you got to revive it.
Right.
My problem, if to revive it the way it is, you have an issue of why do we want to put more tax dollars after something that failed. But from a standpoint of economics and revitalizing the community, what is the correct way to fix it? And people have some strong feelings on it. I don't want to risk a lot of tax dollars for something that's going to fail again. I want to know if we can bring in private entities or somebody who deals with this on a better basis, because I don't really feel the county council should be running a civic center. It should be corporate support or something. I mean, you have the Bilo Expo or something.
Sure.
We need something better than we have to do it, or it will fail again. And I'm not sure what that solution is going to be. I've not heard a truly viable plan from anybody at this point.
Sure. I understand. And, it is a shame, though, that the Civic Center closed down, but I do think you are right in one part, is the fact that it was badly managed to get acts, businesses, performances coming in there. And, of course, there was the issue of the upkeep with the building. So that was another issue. And had they upkept it, they would have been able to get more things in there. So two issues on that one.
Yes.
So what else do you think are issues that you are passionate about when it comes to running for this county council seat, Bob?
From a business standpoint of view, and also from an individual standpoint of view, government should take no more money from you than it has to fulfill its legal and moral obligations, and then let you choose where the rest of your money goes. I'm not a favor of trying to find new taxes or new fees. A lot of the county council's issues has been, well, we really haven't raised millage, but they've tacked on so many fees for every little thing you can think of. And if you've got the homestead exemption on your house, then you've got a greatly reduced tax burden, which is a good thing for people that can get it. But when you get hit with a fee, you get no exemption. You're paying a full dollar.
Right.
And that worries me that We just can't keep taxing and taxing people. Every time we need something else, just increase tax. You can't
or
do
fee,
that.
Fee and fee.
Or fee, fee, and fee.
Fee, fi, fo.
Correct. You're good.
Well, we have 2 minutes left here, Bob Fisher. You are running for County Council, District 7. I'd like to turn this over and let you tell the voters why you should be elected to this office.
The hardest question of all. Not necessarily. If you look at the issues and you look at the how County Council has performed, and the in-district expense to me is an issue that everybody's buzzing on, but the issue of the lake, actually be willing to take someone's property to say that's no longer yours, is very brazen. And that has bothered me to the core. So that to me is about the biggest issue. That if you do that, what would you not do to your citizens? And the government should not be, the county is not these boundaries you see on a map. The county is the people living in those boundaries. And the government should work to serve the people and do what's best interest for the people. Somebody said, well, will you support this group or that group? I said, no. I said, I'd like support of any group that will support me, but I will make no decision based on what's good for your group. If it's good for the people, then I have no problem voting for it. But just because it's your group and you're going to support and you've got political power, great. But it's still got to go down to the voters hired me. If I don't do what they want, the voters will fire me.
Spoken like a true businessman. Absolutely, yes. I mean, yes. Anything else, Bob, that you'd like to say?
Nothing I can think of.
Nothing you can think of.
Well, I would like to say thank you for inviting me, and thanks to the listeners for tuning in.
Absolutely. Well, if you'd like to talk to Bob, I guess you've got your phone number here. We could give him your phone number, and
you
also have an email, your telephone, 229-0968. That's 229-0968. You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. And then if someone has a – you don't have a website, do you?
I don't have a website, no,
you
not
have
for
an
county
email
council position.
Right, okay, not for county council. So probably the best thing is to just pick up that phone and give you a call. You going to answer
it? That's fine. It's my shop's number. Call and just ask for Bob. And if you don't get me, leave me a message and I'll call you back.
All
or
right.
You can email me at BobFisherHodges, BobFisherHodges@gmail.com.
Well, Bob, it's been a pleasure to have you here on the show. I certainly wish you good luck. You only have 1 week left to go through all this.
I'm glad.
You're glad. And good luck with your business, and thanks so much for coming on here with us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. We are going to hear Fox News in progress, and then I'll be back with Happy Hour. God knows I'm looking forward to it today. Don't you go away.